Mesechtas Ksubas Daf Ayin Vav, five lines from the bottom of Daf Ayin Hey on the Beis. As we left off in the middle of the Sugya, we will review the Gemara. Our Mishnah taught that if a woman who is in Naira has women that are found after she is already Mekudeshes, but still Bebeis Aviya, then her father, who will receive her Ksuba, has to bring Edom that these women happened after she was already Mekudeshes in order for Reuven to have to pay her Ksuba. And if her father doesn't bring a Raya, then Reuven won't have to pay her Ksuba. And the Gemara points out that this seems to be like Shitas Rabbi Yeshua, who holds that since Reuven has the money right now and has a cheskas mammon, so we don't take into account the chazaka de gufa. Don't say that since we know that this Naira when she was younger was not a balas mum, and the only time that we know for certain that this changed and she became a balas mum was at this moment, which is already after she was already mekudeshes. And although the ratio of the Mishnah seems to go like Rabbi Shua, and we go based on chazaka de mina and we do not follow chazaka de gufa, but the sefer of the Mishnah stated that if Rachel was already married and the base of Baal, so the husband has to bring a raya that the mum occurred prior to Gedushin, as otherwise we would follow her chazaka de gufa and she would receive a ksuba, as we would say that she was not a balas mum until this moment when she was already married, and surely we would say that it's nistavcha sedeo, that it's actually the husband's mazel that caused at this point that she has mumin, and he would have to give her a ksuba if he wants to divorce her, and the chazaka de gufa of the naira wins over the chesed mumin of the husband. And this follows Shitas Rav Gamliel, and l'chayre there is a steer between the ratio that is like Rabbi Yeshua and the sefer which is like Rav Gamliel. And yesterday we saw two of the three answers of the Gemara to the Stira. Number one, we saw the Teretz of Rabbi Elazar, and number two, we saw the Teretz of Rava, even though we didn't complete the full Teretz of Rava. So let's review the Teretz of Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar answered that in Chanami, the Reish is like Rabbi Shua, and even though the Reish is talking about a case where she's still Bereshus Ha'av, the same didn't apply, even if she's Bereshus Ha'bal, and the father would have to bring a Raya. And Rabbi Elazar says that the Sefer is going like Rabbi Gamliel, and even though the Sefer brought us a case where she was already Bebeis Ha'bal, and then the husband has to bring a Raya, however, even if she would be Bebeis Ha'av, according to Rav Gamliel, we follow Ches Haguf over the Chazaka de Mimayna, and therefore the husband would always have to bring a Raya, even if she's already Bebeis Ha'bal. And yesterday we began the Teretz of Rava, and Rava answered that really our Mishnah is completely going Lefi Shitas Rav Gamliel, as we passing like Rav Gamliel, and therefore really the Chazaka de Gufa should win, and there really should be no difference if Rachel was Bebeis Baila or still Bebeis Aviya, and the Chazaka de Gufa should win, and in order for Reuven to be Potter from paying Aksuba, he would need to bring a proof that the mum was there prior to Kedushin, and if you can't find Edim, then you should have to pay her Ksuba. As Lefi Rav Gamliel, we follow the Chazaka de Gufa, which tells us that she was not a Baalas Mum until after we found her being Baalas Mum, which was already after Kedushin, and therefore she should be entitled to her Ksuba, even though her husband Reuven has the money in his hand and he has a Chazaka on the Mumin. Of course, if Rav is saying that our Misha is going completely like Rav Gamliel, then what's Pshat in the Reisha? Why would it be that the father has to bring a Raya if L'chayr we should follow the Chazaka de Gufa? And Rav explains that in the ratio of the Mishnah, since she is still Bebeis Aviya and she has a mum, so there's a reis and a weakness in the Chazaka de Gufa, and we say Kan Nimtzu Kan Hayu, since we found this mum while she is Bebeis Aviya, then we need to consider that this status was in effect the entire time and even prior to Kedushin. And since there's a reis and a Chazaka de Gufa, therefore the Cheskas mum of the husband would win, and we would say Hamaytzi B'Cherveya Olav Raya, and that's why in the ratio the din is that the father has to bring a Raya and has to bring Edim that she only received these mumin after Kedushin. And if Rachel's father can't find Edom that the mum occurred at a later point in after Kedushin, so the husband won't have to pay her ksuba. And l'chayr, the svara of Rav is also in the sefer where she is already b'shus habal, so then we would say that since we only found the mum once she already entered the husband's house, so we would say kan nimsu kan hayu, that this would actually support her chazaka de gufa and say that the only time that she had this mumin is only at the point that she entered into the husband's home, and therefore she really should be entitled to her ksuba. And that's why the Mishnah says in the case of the sefer that the husband has to bring a Raya and he has to bring Edim that Rachel already had these mumin prior to Kedushin. And if Reuven can't find Edim that could testify that she had these mumin prior to Kedushin, then the din would be that he would have to pay her haksuba. And Abaye now asks on Rava that L'chayr, why do we say that he has to bring Edim that Rachel already had these mumin prior to Kedushin? L'chayr, even if Reuven only brought Edim that she had these mumin while still in her father's home, we only know that she had these mumin when she was already an Arusa and she already had Kedushin, then Reuven shouldn't have to pay her ksuba, as we should say, Kan Nimtzu Kan Hayu, that L'chayr, Lefi Rav Isvara, that once we know the status that she had mumin in a specific time frame, then we would say that in that entire time frame she had mumin, and therefore once we know that she had mumin while she was Bebeis Aviya, it should be a reis to Chazaka de Gufa, and therefore Reuven should win based on his Chazaka de Mina. Where I pointed out that Rav can't answer that the reason why Reuven only brings Edim that she had mumin Bebeis Aviya, but after Erisin that would not be enough to exempt him from paying Ksuba, is because we have a Chazaka that ain't on them Shreis Isabekais, Elam came by Kai, and if she had mamum during that period, then Reuven must have found out about it before Chuppah, since a person wouldn't go and drink a cup of wine without first inspecting it well, and Reuven must have done his due diligence prior to getting married to her, and he must have found out that she had a mum, and since even though he knew that she had a mum, he still went forward with the Nisuyan, so it must be that he was mekabel this mum, and therefore in that case he would still have to pay her a ksuba. But the Gemara points out that if so, then we should say the same svara, and even in the case of the Mishnah, where Reuven brought Aiden that she had mum prior to Kedushin, where the Mishnah itself says that he would be potter from paying her ksuba, since Reuven proved that she had mum at the time of Kedushin, based on the svara that we just said, he should still be chayiv to pay her ksuba, because by the fact that he got married to her, it must be that he knew about these women and sabra v'kibla, because we should say the same svara that einad mishayis v'kais elam came by kai. And of course we know that in this case that Reuven doesn't have to pay her ksuba, as the Mishnah specifically said that if Reuven brings a raya that she had women before Kedushin, he would not have to pay her ksuba. And Abaye therefore explained that it must be that we don't have a chazaka that einad mishayis v'kais elam came by kai. And the svara is actually just the opposite, that it's impossible that he knew that she had women, because a person would not get married and would not be mefayis if he knew that Rachel had mumin. And as Abaye said, there's a chazaka ain't under mefayis but mumin, and therefore the firava, once Reuven brings a raya that she had mumin but besabia, even if the raya is only that she had mumin after Kedushin, we should say kandim to kanhayu, and these mumin were there even prior to Kedushin, and we don't say that chazaka ain't under mefayis because elm came by guy. We actually say that Reuven did not know about these mumin beforehand, as if he would have known, he wouldn't have gotten married, as we have a chazaka that a person would never be mespayis if he knew that his wife had mumin. And therefore, at this point, which is the point that we ended off yesterday, the Gemara was back to the original question of Abaya on Rava. Once again, the question is that L'chayr, if Rava says the svar of Kan Nimtzu Kan Hayu, and L'chayr, when we actually found out that she had mumin when she was already Bebeis Abal, why does the husband have to go and bring proof that she actually had his mumin prior to Kedushin when she was Bebeis Av? L'chayr, even if he bring proof that she had his mumin after Kedushin, but at the point that she was Bebeis Abal, we should say Kan Nimtzu Kan Hayu, and therefore it should prove that she had his mumin even beforehand and even before Kedushin, and it of course causes a reis in the chazaka de gufa, and therefore the husband should win based on the fact that now he has a chazaka de reminder. And we will now begin today's Gemara, and we will speak it out outside, and then we'll read it inside the Gemara. So the Gemara answers at this point that Bavade Rava holds that the difference between the reisha and the sefer is based on the concept of kan nimtzu kan hayu, and the reisha, since Rachel is still bebeis aviyah, and we already know that she had mumin, so the svar of kan nimtzu kan hayu tells us that like she had his mumin prior to Kedushin as well, and it weakens her chazaka de gufa, and that's why her father has to bring a raya that she did not have any mumin prior to Kedushin. However, in the Sefer, it is not sufficient if Reuven brought a raya that she had mumin while she was already Mekudeshes, and even though we should say kan nimtzu kan hayu, as Abaye is, Rav explains that there is a chilu between where Edom come and testify that she had mumin even before she was Mekudeshes, or if there are only Edom that can testify that although she had mumin while she was a Bebeis Aviyah, but they only could testify that she certainly had mumin after Kedushin, but they don't know anything about her period before Kedushin. And the chiluk is as if they testify that she had mumin prior to Kedushin, so she has no chazaka de gufa any longer, as bevada at the time of Kedushin, she had mumin, even though her father has a chazaka that while it's true that she had mumin, it must be that Reuven knew about these mumin, and even so he got married, and therefore it must have been that he was mefayis, since we have a chazaka that ain't under mishayis b'kais, elam came by kai, but we have two chazakas against this. Number one, there is a chazaka that ain't under mefayis b'mumin, and therefore Reuven must have not known about these mumin. And number two, hamimaman chazkasai, we have a chazaka de mumin, and since we have two chazakas against one, therefore Reuven wins and doesn't have to pay her ksuba. She'inkin, if Reuven only brought Aiden that she had mumin after she was mekudeshes, even though she was bebeis ha'av, since Rava holds like a gamliel that the chazaka de gufa that states that she didn't have mumin prior to this point and prior to Kedushin, and the chazaka de gufa wins over chazaka de mumina, so therefore Rachel's father has two chazakas. Number one, he has the chazaka de gufa, which tells us that she didn't have mumin prior to Kedushin, and number two, Rachel's father also has a chazaka that ain't adam shreisa b'kais elam came by kai, and therefore it must be that Reuven knew about his mumin and he was sovra v'kibla and he was mispious, and therefore Rachel's father would still be entitled to collect the ksuba, even though there is one chazaka that supports Reuven, since he has a chazaka that ain't adam mefayis b'mumin, but that is only one chazaka against the father's two chazakas, and therefore even if Reuven brought a raya Rachel had mumin b'beis aviyah, but it was after Kedushin, and even though there is a svar of kan nimtzu kan hayu, but it's not strong enough to go against two chazakas of her father, and he would still be obligated to pay her ksuba. And let's see this in the Gemara. So we start the Gemara 5 lines to the bottom of Daf Ayin Hey and Beis Elam Mishnah Sarsa. The reason why Reuven would lose even if he brought Edim that she actually had mumin when she was in Sarsa, and L'chayu we should say kan nimtzu kan hayu, is Mishum de Ikatati, because the father actually has two chazakas. First of all, Rachel's father has a chazaka that supports his tzad, because we have have a chazaka hem and agufa chaskasai, that we say that Rachel did not have mumen prior to kedushin. And number two is a chazaka in adam shayis bekoyis, elam came baikoy, that a person would not go and get married to her prior to doing due diligence. And since we know that at the point that she got married, she definitely had mumen, therefore we say v'hai rav and afayisu, it must be that Reuven actually knew about these mumen and he was actually okay with getting married to her. And therefore, even though Reuven may have brought edim that she had a mum when she was already in the sarsa and she was still bebeis aviyah, that would still not help him in order to avoid paying her the ksuba, because the father still has two chazakas that support his taina, and therefore Reuven still has to pay the ksuba of Rachel. My amir, what could you be a taina against it? Because chazaka ain't on the mafayis mumen, that we have a chazaka that a person generally would not be mafayis when he knows that his wife had mumen. This chazaka should prove that the husband did not know about his mumen when he got married, and therefore it makes sense that he wasn't mafayis. This chazaka l'chari would help out the husband, and it would say that he's not chayiv to pay her ksuba. But the Gemara continues on Dafayin Vav Medav, Chotem Makom Tati, that will still, you only have one chazaka that supports the husband, you have two chazakas that are supporting the father, the Chotem Makom Tati, Lo Yaminon, and one chazaka against two chazakas can't win out. And Rava continues, Ad Shaloi Tisaris, however, if the husband brought Edim that she actually had mumen prior to Kedushin, and while she was Bebes Aviyah, then Haman HaGufa Chaskasa, Lo Yiklamema, at that point, of course, she doesn't have chazaka to Gufa, because, of course, we know Bevadai that there are Edim that say that she did have mumen prior to Kedushin, and therefore, of course, Edim went out over Chazaka de Gufa, and therefore, of course, based on this sad, the husband wins and the husband doesn't have to pay her ksuba. My ikah chazaka de Edim Rashois Bekais Elim came baikai, Vahai Rav and Afayasu. And even if you're going to tell me that maybe Ena Chanami, the Edim are saying that she had a mum, but maybe the father would still receive the ksuba, as at this point we should have a chazaka that says that since we know that Edim said that she had a mum, and even though the husband definitely did his due diligence and therefore must have known that she had a mum and still got married to her, the lechera must be that Reuven was actually nefayis and he was actually okay marrying her even with the mumen, and therefore he should still have to pay her ksuba. The Gemara says in that case the father would lose out, because adraba pumfakat, number one, we have a competing chazaka that states ein adam nefayis b'mumen, that a person would not be nefayis b'mumen, and therefore it must be they did not know about these mumen, otherwise he would not have gotten married. And number two, we have a mumen chazkasai, the husband has a chazaka b'mumeno, and therefore the husband has two chazakas that support his side, whereas the father only has one possible chazaka that supports his side. Therefore, as the Mishnah stated, if the husband has an edim that say that we know that she had mumen prior to kedushin, then the husband would win and he would not have to pay her ksuba. And just to close a couple of gaps, first of all, of course, Rava holds like Rav Gamliel, and even so, in this last point, Rava still says ham mumen chazkasa, we go basal chazaka de mina, because over here there is no chazaka de gufa, since the edim actually testified that she actually had mumen prior to kedushin, and therefore, of course, that wipes away the chazaka de gufa. And of course, as we explained before, the only time Rav Gamliel says that we don't follow chazaka de mina is only when we have a chazaka de gufa competing against a chazaka de mina. But over here, since there is no chazaka de gufa, therefore, of course, we still go with the chazaka de mina, and Reuven would not have to pay the ksuba. Masha Inkin, the case at the Banu Amid, where Reuven only brought Edim, Rachel had mumen bebeis aviyah, but only after kedushin, and they didn't have any raya that she had his mumen prior to kedushin. Over there, of course, she still has a chazaka de gufa that states although she had mumen at the point that she was bebeis aviyah and after kedushin, but she didn't have any mumen prior to kedushin. And since Rava holds like Rav Gamliel, therefore the chazaka mina in that case was irrelevant, and that's why we didn't have a second chazaka for Reuven, and it was two against one in the father's favor. Also, although at this point it seems that everything worked out perfectly, because we said v'chadub makom tati lav klumu, and therefore the father wins in the case where Reuven only brought edim that Rachel had mumen when she was bebeis aviyah, but after kedushin, ayin teisa dima maskel v'chadub makom tati lav klumu, that he asked in taima, why do you say that it's actually two against one in the father's favor? V'algavi bal ikonami tati l'chayra, even b'negei the husband, there are two chazakas, chadud ein adam espayis b'mumen, as we said, v'chadud islamemo kan nimtzu kan hayu, that we should also say the svar of Rava. And since Reuven brought a raya that she had mumen after kedushin, and it was while she was bebeis aviyah, then we should say that kan nimtzu kan hayu, and l'chayu, we should be able to prove that she also had these mumen prior to kedushin as well. And the Shita Mekubetzes brings down in the name of Rashi that Rashi holds that kan nimtzu kan hayu is not a chazaka, and therefore can't count towards one of the chazakas of the husband, and it could only be used as a svara to weaken the father's position, but it's not an actual chazaka. And Rashi on the bottom of Daf Ayin Heyam Habei seems to say a similar svara, that the chazaka of Ein Adam Shayis Bekayis Elam Kein Barkai would counterbalance that, even if it's true that we should say that kan nimtzu kan hayu and she had his mumen prior to kedushin, but there was still chazaka that Reuven knew about his mumen, and even so he married Rachel and went through with his nisuyin, so it must be that he was rav in a fayis ayin sham. And the Gemara continues with the third teretz as to the chilut between the reisha and the seif of our Mishnah. Rav Ashi Amar, Reisha Manal Abba Biyadecha, V'Seifa Manali Biyadecha. And Rashi explains that Rav Ashi also agrees that the Mishnah is going like a Gamliel, which is Lahalacha. And if so, the question is, why does the Reisha say that the father has to bring a Raya? L'chay we should go Bas Chazaka de Gufa over Chazaka de Maina, as Rav Gamliel holds, and then we should say that these women only occurred after she was already Mekudeshes, and therefore the father should win and he should receive the Ksuba from the husband. And why does our Mishnah say that the father has to bring a Raya that these women occurred after Kedushin? And Rav Ashi explains that since we are discussing a Naira and a father is the one that's claiming a Ksuba, he can't use a Chazaka de Gufa. And the claim of a Chazaka de Gufa is reserved only for the woman herself, and this Chazaka cannot be used as a Raya for a father that's only coming Mikaycha. That's why Rav Ashi explains that the father has to bring a Raya that she actually had these women only after Kedushin, as otherwise we would actually be Ukim Maina Chazkasai, and Reuven would not have to give the money for the Ksuba, because of course his Chazaka de Maina doesn't have any competing Chazaka going against it, as there is no Chazaka de Gufa that can be used in this case, since the father is making the claim and not the daughter. That's what Rav Ashi meant when he said in the Reisha we're talking about a case where someone's claiming $100 for their father, and over there of course the Yarshim have different dinim than the father themselves. And here also, since the father is the one that's coming to collect the ksuba of the Naira, so that he can't use a Chazaka de Gufa. However, in the Seifa we're talking about a case where she's already married. Once she's married, then the ksuba goes to her, therefore of course she has a taina and she can use a Chazaka de Gufa. And since the mission is Golan Krav Gamliel, therefore of course Chazaka de Gufa wins over Reuven's Chazaka de Maina, and the only way Reuven can win is if he brings Edim that testify that she had this woman even prior to Kedushin. And even though of course it's very difficult to understand why would it be that the father can't use the Chazaka de Gufa, that's what Rav Ashi says, and the Achrenim all deal with this and struggle with this. And Rashi says the taina is not from the girl El Shalavia, but it's her father's taina, Shek Subis Iris in La'av V'Havalei Man La'abba Biyadecha V'Gabi Av Le'aminim Beguf Shalav the taina Chaskasa, that for the father he can't make a claim regarding her body since it's his claim and not her claims, Ayin and Rashi. And L'chayu L'fir of Ashi, if in Ereisha where she was still Bebe Savia, but let's say she was not a Nairob and she was a Gdola, and therefore the Ksuba would really belong to her if her husband would divorce her, then L'chayu she would actually have a taina and she could use the Chazaka de Gufa, and that would win over the Chazaka de Maina. And in that case, since her Chazaka de Gufa would win over the husband's Chazaka de Maina, therefore the husband would be the one that has to bring the Raya and she would not have to bring the Raya. And the Gemara continues, Esfer Rav Acha Breda Rav Avi Rav Ashi. Rav Acha Breda Rav Avi asked the following question to Rav Ashi, that we have a brayso that says Maidra Meya, that Rav Meya is Maidra but Mumin Avui and Lava Yimam and Besavia, that if there are a woman that would be ready to come with her from the house of the father and really could have developed even the father's house, and now she's already Nichnesa to Rishus of her husband because she got married, that still Shalah Av Lava Raya, that the father would still have to bring a Raya, and otherwise we would say that the husband would win. And the Gemara asked, Vamai Lachir, in this case it was already Nisuyin, and once it's Nisuyin, then of course the taina for the ksuba is the girl's taina, as she would receive the ksuba. And if so, manli biyadecha, it is a case of manli biyadecha that the girl has the taina, and therefore she should be able to use the chazaka de gufa against the husband's chazaka de maina, and l'chayu she should win. And why do we say that the daughter would have to bring the raya? In that case, l'chayu the husband should be the one that has to bring the raya in order for him to win, and otherwise she should have to pay the ksuba based on the fact that she has a chazaka de gufa. And the Gemara answers, hachamayaskinam biyaseris, that we're not talking about all women in this case, as in general, any time that this woman is already married and the base by law, then of course she would be able to use her chazaka de gufa, which would win against his chazaka de maina. And in our case, where Rameh says that he's maida, that is only talking about a very specific mum where she had an extra finger. And in that case, even though that she's married, of course there's no chazaka de gufa because this is a mum which she certainly was born with, and certainly Rachel already had this mum even prior to kedushin, and therefore of course the husband should not have to pay her ksuba. And the Gemara is serious, my raya maisi, if we're talking about a case where she had an extra finger, so that's a mum, and you can't bring a raya that she had this mum only after kedushin, as this mum is certainly a birth defect, and therefore of course she had this mum even prior to kedushin. How could Rav Meir say that in that case, ala avla avi raya, what type of raya would the father or the daughter be able to bring in order to be able to receive the ksuba? And the Gemara answers, raya de rav in the fayasu, that actually they bring edim that say that we know that the husband already knew about this mum, and prior to them having kedushin, he already knew that she had an extra finger, and therefore he was already mafuyas, he already didn't care about that, and therefore if the husband goes and divorces her, he would have to pay her ksuba. And the Gemara continues, Am Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Rabbi Yehuda says the following din in the name of Shmuel, and we will read the Gemara and then explain. Hamachlif para b'chamar u'moshech bala chamar sapara v'lehispik bala para limshech as chamar ad shemes chamar. The case is, we are on Sunday, Reuven bartered his chamar to Shimon for Shimon's para, and Reuven Reuven made a kinyan through Mashiach by pulling the para, and automatically at that moment, Shimon is kind of the chamar of Reuven through the kinyan of Chalipin. However, the chamar wasn't at that location, and by the time that Shimon went to collect the chamar, for example, on Monday, the donkey was already dead. So Shimon now claims that although Reuven is currently muchzik on the para, as the para is physically in his rishus, but the transaction actually never occurred since the chamar was possibly already dead on Sunday when they actually made this kinyan, while Reuven claims that the transaction was valid and the chamar only died after Shimon already acquired it, and the chamar died while Shimon already owned it, and therefore it's Shimon's loss. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Name of Shmuel, al bala chamar lahavi raya shay chamar yukayim b'shas mashiach's para." In this case, even though Reuven is actually a muchzik on the para of Shimon, however, Reuven would have to bring a raya that his chamar was still alive at the time that he did mashiach on the para of Shimon. Keep in mind the lashon of Shmuel that said, "Well, hispik bala para limshichas chamar at shemes chamar." It doesn't mean that the bala para actually had to go and make a mashiach on chamar, because as we said, really chalipin could work, and by the fact that Reuven already did mashiach on the para of Shimon, so in normal circumstances, Shimon would automatically be kind of the chamar of Reuven, and this lashon is really lav dafka, but really it means that he wasn't able to collect the chamar until the point that they realized that the chamar already died. Rabbi Yehuda continued and said, "Name of Shmuel v'tana tuna kala," that Shmuel said that our tana b'negei the mumin of a kala, it would be a riot to my yisoid. And the Gemara asks, "Hi kala, which case of the kala in our Mishnah would be a riot to the yisoid of Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Shmuel?" And we continue at daf ayin vavam beis, and the Gemara says, "Ilei makala beis avia." If you will say that the din of Rabbi Yehuda is learned based on the same din of the reish of our Mishnah, where Rabbi Yehuda learned the Mishnah like Rabbi Elazar, which was the first pshat that we had, and the reish of the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yeshua, and the father would also have to bring the raya that the moment occurred before Kiddushin, even if Rachel was already the base baila, and we see that even though the suffix didn't occur when she was in his rishus, and you may think Reuven should have to bring the raya, since at the time we found out that she had moment, based on her current status, he should be chayiv to pay her ksuba, and even so, the reisha held, her father has to bring the raya, which is similar to our case, where although the par is currently in the rishus of Reuven, and the suffix only occurred at that point, we still require Reuven to bring the raya that the chamar died after he did Mashiach. And the Gemara says, "Mi dami, hasam maisi av raya umapik, hacha maisi bala chamar raya umukim." The Gemara explains that, of course, there is no comparison, as we understand why the father has to bring a raya, even though Rachel is already birshus habal, since he is trying to collect money from Reuven, and Reuven is the muchzik, as he has a chazaka and moina, and therefore we have a din of hamaisi mechaber all of a raya. While in the case of a machlef para chamar, Reuven is the muchzik, as he currently has the para, so why would Reuven have to bring a raya in order to keep his status quo and his chazaka and moina, so he can't bring a raya from the ratio of the Mishnah? And the Gemara continues, "Amar Baba, Kalav Beis Chamel, the raya of Rabbi Yehuda is from the second case of the Mishnah, where the kala is already in the father-in-law's house, and Rabbi Elazar said that the seifa is going lefi shitas Rav Gamliel, and just like we said that lefi Rav Gamliel, the husband Reuven has to bring a raya that Rachel had mumen prior to kedushin, even if she is still bebeis avia, and the suffolk wasn't noilid when she was already in his rishus, and even though Reuven is clearly the muchzik in his money, he still is the one that had to bring the raya, and therefore certainly in the case of hamachlef par b'chamar, well, although Reuven has the par physically in his rishus, but we all know that a few moments ago it was in Shimon's rishus, and certainly Reuven's chazaka d'maina is definitely weaker than the husband's chazaka d'maina, and certainly Reuven should have to bring a raya in order to retain the para. And the Gemara says that that is also not a raya to the din of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, because Vakati Lei Dami is definitely not similar to each other, because Hasim Bal Ma'is Raya Umar Lei Lecheskid Av Hacha Bal Chamar Ma'is Raya Umukim Chazaka Biyadei. And the Gemara's point is that although it seemed like a perfect dinyan, but you miss one major point that makes all of the difference between the two cases, as in our Mishnah Lefi Rav Gamliel, the reason that Reuven has to bring the raya isn't because we don't care about his chazaka and minor, but it's because Rabbi Gamliel Shitasai, that he holds that the chazaka de gufa of Rachel is the strong chazaka and strengthens the father's claim, and her chazaka tells us that she wasn't a baal's mom until this point, and this chazaka would win over Reuven's chazaka and minor, and that's why Reuven has to bring the raya with Edim that her moment occurred prior to Kedushin. In the case of Rabbi Huda in the name of Shmuel, by Machle Par B'chamar, the chazakas are all in the favor of Reuven, as there is a chazaka that Chamar was alive and continued to have been alive until we found out that it was dead, which is of course exactly Reuven's claim. And number two, Reuven at this point is in possession of the Chamar and therefore isn't trying to be Meitzi Mamon at all, and there are actually no Chazakas that are working against Reuven, and therefore why would Reuven be the one to have to bring the Raya that the Chamar died after his Mashiach, and therefore you can't say that Rabbi Yehuda was bringing a Raya from this part of the Mishnah either. And prior to learning the next part of the Gemara, let's just have a small Akdama. There is a Machlekes in Masechtas Bava Basra where a Chassid, let's call him Reuven, is Mekadosh a woman, let's call her Rachel, and prior to Nisuin, the chassan dies, or there's another reason why they don't get married, where one man holds that Kedushin Lavla Tibuin it knew. Reuven didn't mean to give this mammon irrevocably to Reuven or her father, and he only meant to give it to her as a pikadon, and if they culminate the marriage, then she could keep the money. But Reuven never wanted this money to be tabua, to be sunk and lost, if they wouldn't have the suyin, and then he wanted the money back, and if he dies, then he wanted his yarshin to receive the kesef kedushin back. And the other shita holds that kedushin is lutavuin it knew, that Reuven does mean to give a woman a matana gemura even at the time of kedushin, and even if they don't have nesuyin, and even if he dies, he wants her or her father to keep the kesef kedushin. And based on this haktama, the gemara continues, Amar Nachman Yitzchak kala beisavil hu kedushin. And when Rabbi Yehuda said the name of Shmuel with talent tuna kala, that I could bring a raya to my yisoid from our mishnah benegated din of kala, he was trying to bring a raya from our mishnah from a completely separate point that we didn't discuss up until this point. And the point is that aside from a question as to if Reuven, who has a chazaka mammon, has to pay Rachel's father for aksuba, Reuven claims that not only don't have to pay aksuba, but also demands that Rachel's father returns the kesef kedushin to him, since the kedushin was a mekach tais. And Shmuel learned on mishnah like Rabbi Elazar that the reish is going completely like Rabbi Shua, and even if Rachel's already a base baila, Rachel's father has to be a raya, since Rabbi Shua holds that a chazaka d'mayna wins out over chazaka d'gufa. And not only does Rachel's father have to bring a raya to be mitzi mammon from Reuven and receive the ksuba, but Rachel's father also has to bring the edim to say that we know that Rachel only had these mammon once she already had kedushin in order to retain the kesef kedushin, as otherwise he would lose the kesef kedushin even though it's already in his possession. And this din is similar to the din of hamachlof para b'chamar, that although Reuven has the para in his possession and is the muchzik, but he still has to bring the raya that the chamar died after he was already kind of the para. And the gemara explains, and don't say that it is only going with the Amad Amad that says that Kedushin is considered like a Pekodin, and Reuven did not mean to give her this Kesef Kedushin if they don't get married. And Lafidlo Amad Amad, even according to Amad Amad Masech Sbabasa, Kedushin Lutavun, it knew that when a husband gives Kesef Kedushin to his wife or to her father, he doesn't intend to get it back, and he understands that it's going to be sunken and lost even if they don't get married. But Hani Midli Kedushin Vade, that's only where they had a valid Kedushin, and then afterwards, for some reason, they didn't actually go through with the Nisuyan. But definitely when a person gives money for Kedushin and he actually made a tzai, or for example we didn't make a tzai, but then we find out that she had mumin, and therefore the whole Kedushin was a Kedushin tzais and a mekach tzais, certainly the husband does not want the father or his kala to retain the kesef Kedushin, and therefore the only way the father could keep the kesef Kedushin is only if he brings a raya that these mumin only came after Rachel was already mekudashas. And if Rachel's father does not bring such a raya, then the din would be that he would have to give back the kesef Kedushin even though it was already in his rishus and he already had some sort of a chazaka d'mayna. Now keep in mind, up until this point in all the other terutzim that we were trying to explain, we kept saying that we want our gemara to go lahalacha and we want the gemara to go like Rav Gamliel. However, as we explained, this gemara is actually going lefi shitas Rabbi Yeshua and not like Rav Gamliel, and it's not going lahalacha. And Rashi in the first and the middle lines actually asks this even stronger, and he says Hashmuel halacha Rav Gamliel amin parakama, that Shmuel himself said in the first parak that halacha follows Rav Gamliel. And Rashi explains, ina chanami, that really this is a problem, but a maskana mukminan deloya mashmuel achi, then the maskana we're going to see that ina chanami, that this is not actually pshat and Shmuel, and therefore ultimately this is not a problem, because of course Shmuel doesn't hold like Rabbi Yeshua. And the Gemara continues, and it's a question on the way Rabbi Yehuda explained the shita of Shmuel, meisvei, we ask a kasha from the Gemara, mesech tzichulin, machash nimses, ba'ivu besekaisis, if after a sheichet shechs an animal, he finds a needle in the thick walls of one of the stomachs of the animal called a besekaisis, and because it's so thick, it is possible that the needle didn't actually pierce completely through the wall of the stomach, and therefore this animal was not necessarily a trefa. And the Braisa says, mitzad echel ksheir, mishneit stod and trefa, if you find that the needle only pierced the inside of the base of kaisis and didn't go straight through to the other side, then it would not be a trefa because it's not a nekev. And if it goes through and it's from both sides, then it's considered a trefa. And the Braisa continues, nimtzale kotam biyadua shul lefnei shechita, le nimtzale kotam biyadua shul achas shechita, if you find some blood on the needle, then you know that it happened before shechita, and therefore it's a trefa. And if you did not find any dam on the needle, then you would know that it happened after shechita, and therefore, even if it would actually have pierced both sides of the animal's stomach, it would still not be considered a trefa. And the prior dinim of the Braisa are not negeah to our Gemara, and our Gemara will be negeah to the next points of the Braisa. Hugla pia maka biyadua sheshleish yamim kaidim shechita. And if we find that it actually had a nekev and it went through the actual stomach, and therefore it's definitely a trefa, but we also find that that area already scabbed up, and then we know that this hole must have happened at least 3 days before the shechita, as otherwise a scab wouldn't have had time to form. And there was no question that this animal is definitely a trefa, since we know that this machat went mishnei stodim. So l'chayu, what's nafkamina that we know that this scab had formed 3 days before. And Rashi explains, and therefore, if let's say the butcher bought this from the wholesaler within the last 3 days, then definitely it was already a trefer before he purchased it, and therefore it's a mekach tais, and therefore the wholesaler will have to return his money, shemach loy trefer, because he sold him a trefer. And finally, the Brice teaches us, loy hugla pia maka, that if the maka did not form any skib, and there's now a machlekes between the sheikhit and the wholesaler, the butcher claims that the whole happened before I bought it, and therefore it was a mekach tais, and the wholesaler has to pay him back his money, and the wholesaler claims that this whole happened after the sale of this animal, and therefore it became a trefer in your rishus, and it's your problem, and I don't have to return the money. And the Brice says, that the din is that if the sheikhit already gave the money to the wholesaler, that the sheikhit would be the maisi mechaber, because he's trying to get his money back from the wholesaler, and therefore he would have to be the raya that this animal was already a trefer at the point that he bought it. And as the Gemara says, if the butcher actually gave the money already to the wholesaler, it comes out that the butcher will be the one that has to be the raya in order to get back his money. And the Gemara is, according to Rabbi Huda, that said before that the Baal HaChamor had to be a raya, even though he already had the par in his rishus, because l'maisa, the suffix was nailed in his chamor, and the suffix was if the chamor died before the transaction or after the transaction. And over here also l'chayra, since the suffix was nailed in the wholesaler's animal, so l'chayra, the wholesaler should have to bring the raya in order to retain the money that he received for this transaction. And the Gemara answers, ein chanami, but lo yav tafchadami, that the case of the Gemara is talking about specifically where the sheikhit actually never paid for this animal yet, and he bought it on credit, and therefore when it said amaitz mechaber l'raya, it means that the wholesaler has to bring a raya that the whole occurred only after the sheikhit already bought the animal from him, and then he'll be able to collect the money from the sheikhit. However, in a chanami, even in a case where the sheikhit actually already paid for this animal, the wholesaler would still be the one bringing a raya, even though that he is not the maitz mechaber. And when we use the term amaitz mechaber l'raya, it's just because we said that the case is talking about a situation where the butcher bought on credit and did not pay cash. And the Gemara asks, my Pascha, why did the Brice say the Lush of Hamitzi Mechaver or Varaya? If L'chira, that is only true if there's a case where the butcher bought on credit and did not pay cash. But of course, the Lush of Hamitzi Mechaver or Varaya doesn't make sense where the butcher actually paid cash and did not buy in credit. And do you think that the only case would be in the world where people buy on credit and do not buy with cash? And therefore, the Gemara is back to its original question that L'chira, this Brice does not seem to be like Rabbi Huda in the name of Shmuel. Eloki, us running by Cheskel, when running by Cheskel came from Eretzol, Amen, he said, like the sinel haniklali, the kal Yehuda, achim shmei de Shmuel, that you should not listen to these klalim that my brother Yehuda, who was Yehuda by Cheskel, that he said in the name of his Rabbi Shmuel. And Roim by Cheskel explained, hachiyam Shmuel, this is what Shmuel actually said, called shanel saf b'shuse all over raya. Then in the case of a machlo par b'chamor, moshech bala chamor, zapar, v'lehispik bala par, limshech as chamor, at shemes chamor, Shmuel really paskin exactly the opposite, and he held that the bala para actually has to bring a raya that chamor died before the Meshicha. And as Rashi explains, hail b'safik b'shuse nailed, since the suffix actually only occurred once the chamor was already in his rishus, because we only found that the chamor died after the mashiach of the par happened, and at that point there was a chalipin that happened, and therefore the chamor was considered like it was already in the rishus of Shimon. And Rami Bar Yechezkel also says that Shmuel said that our tana would be a riot to my yisoid from the case of the kala, and that makes a lot of sense, because in chanami Shmuel actually holds like Rava that both the resha and the sefer are going like Rav Gamliel, and the main point is, where did the suffix occur? Did the suffix occur while she was in the father's house? Then the father has to bring a raya, and if the suffix started when she was in the husband's house, then the husband is the one that has to bring the raya, which is exactly like Shmuel just taught us, b'negeya machlef par b'chamar. And on this din of Shmuel, that kol shenel suffix b'shusa all over raya, the Gemara now asks the similar question from the Gemara in Masechet Chulin, meisvei, macha shenusa b'isvei beis ha-kaisis chulu, and over there the Gemara said that if we're not sure when this whole actually happened and when this became a trefer, and the butcher claims that the trefer happened prior to him buying it, and the wholesaler claimed that it happened after he bought it, the din is hamaisi mechaber all over raya. Now certainly in that case the suffix actually occurs once the sheikhit already has it in his rishus, because we only found out that it had a hole after the sheikhit actually shechted this animal. And l'chayr, based on the klal of Shmuel, we should say kol shenel suffix b'shusay all over raya. And in the case of the sheikhit and the wholesaler, the din should be that the sheikhit should be the one that always has to bring a raya. And the Brice over there said, Hamaisi Mechaber L'Varaya, and that Lashon makes a lot of sense if the Sheikhit already paid up to the wholesaler, and therefore he's trying to get back his money, and of course he has the responsibility to bring a raya, so we said a Lashon, Hamaisi Mechaber L'Varaya. The Gemara asks, who said that the Shechet actually gave the money and he already paid for this animal? But Lemaisa, if the Shechet actually bought on credit and he never gave the money, would you say that the Baal Behema is the Meitzi? And therefore the wholesaler would have to bring the Raya? And the Gemara asks, Vamai, how can you say this? Lemaisa, the Suffolk occurred at the time that the butcher shechted this animal, and therefore in all cases the butcher should have to bring the Raya, and why should it be that the wholesaler has to bring the Raya? And the Gemara answers, the Brice is talking about a case where the Shechet, where the butcher actually paid money for this animal, and therefore he's the Meitzi, and that's why we say Meitzi Mechaveh of Raya, because he has to bring the Raya, since the Suffolk happened when it was in the Rishus. And once again, the Gemara asks, my Pascha, why did the Brice say that it's talking about a case where the butcher actually paid money, and he paid cash on delivery? Maybe it was talking about a case where the butcher actually bought it on credit, and in that case, of course, the Lashon of HaMaisi Mechaveh of Raya doesn't make sense. And the Gemara says, Stamina Milsa, Kamad Loyav Inishuzi Loyav Inishchiyusa, that in the Chanami, the reason why the Brice says Lashon of HaMaisi Mechaveh of Raya, and it's talking about a case where the Shechet, where the butcher actually paid money and he did not buy on credit, is because that's the standard that a wholesaler will not sell on credit, and it was always cash on delivery, and that's why the Brice says HaMaisi Mechaveh of Raya. But in the Chanami, if there would be a scenario where a butcher would buy something on credit, then the butcher would still have the responsibility to bring a raya because the suffolk was noila birishusai. And the Gemara continues and quotes from Mishnah v'chamim b'med v'mum b'mum shebeseisa, that when do we say that a person could taina that he didn't want to marry her because she had mumin is only when the mumin were mumin shebeseisa. However, the Chacham said mumin shebegalu in yachluta, and if these mumin were visible and exposed, then of course the husband would not have the ability to taina that he didn't want this kedushin because the yadav in the spies. And we continue on Daf Ayin Zayin Amar Alf Amar Nachman. Rav Nachman says that even though the lashon of the Mishnah was mumin shebeseisa, which is mashma things that were not exposed and they were mumin that you could not see, however v'nichba k'mumin shebeseisa, the sickness called nichba, which is some sort of epilepsy where someone falls onto the floor and has some sort of seizures, those are definitely mumin. But the things which people don't necessarily know about, and since they only come during specific periods of time, therefore the husband didn't necessarily know about it, and therefore we don't say that yodav in his bias. And the Gemara clarifies v'hani mili de kavilei zman, that the only time we say that epilepsy is considered mumin shebeseisa is only where it comes from time to time, and this woman knows exactly when it's about to come, and therefore, as Rashi says, shenizeres b'yomis mana melatzis bein abrius, she will know to be careful during that period of time and not to go out in public, and therefore no one will know about it, and potentially the husband never knew about it, and therefore we don't say the yado bin espias. However, if this epilepsy is the type of epilepsy that just comes and doesn't necessarily give her any warning and doesn't have a specific time period that it comes and just sometimes will come without warning, then kemum shabagali dami, then we consider that everyone would know about it, and therefore he must have known about it and he was nespias, and he can't claim afterwards that it was a mekach tais because you have this epilepsy, because of course he must have known about it, and we will stop over here.